Well, he put it all together, the blues and boogaloo and Latin rhythms, and made it all sound great in the 60s and 70s and 80s, right up until his death in 1983. Percussionist Willie Bobo and his band with fried neck bones and some home fries. Now, who would have thought you could make an entire song with just those words? Well, we do have James Brown as ready proof. He could make a whole song on one word. Just say, hey, and oh, that sounds like a great song. This is from his 1965 album, Spanish Grease. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we'll do our best to convey our feelings and opinions and thoughts about this week, which was one heck of a week, still is continuing as a new storm is churning in the East Atlantic. This one is Irma, and all eyes are on Irma to see whether she is going to be visiting the coastal cities again on top of Harvey. So we'll see what's going on there. But in the meantime, it's just so chaotic now. And as these things go, we've witnessed these things before. It could be a snowstorm or heavy rain or something that causes a major calamity in a community or a city. And at first, everybody, is full of love. And then you see gradually the descent into chaos, where people start behaving very badly toward each other. And that's the case in Houston. We're getting reports now of a lot of robbery and theft and very poor behavior on the part of many people. And it's going to go that way. And then after that comes, the militarization of the town or city. And then it gets even further down the line to things that we can't imagine, like curfews and shooting on sight and crazy things like that. Let's hope it doesn't get there. But that's the nature of these kinds of things. It takes a while, and people are concerned in the first instance of getting some kind of footing where they could still function. And time goes by and things begin to deteriorate. So it's Free Your Mind Friday, as you know, and we talk about anything we wish to talk about. But I'm curious to know your thoughts about how things unfolded and still are unfolding after Hurricane Harvey, which has now been downgraded to a tropical depression. And it's also important to keep in mind that we've been through real catastrophes before. I wonder if you listeners, whether you as this thing unfolded this past week and is continuing to unfold, Hurricane Harvey, do you have any ideas based on what we've been told, because we certainly are not on site, about how the situation has been handled? What are your impressions about that? And what are your thoughts turning to yourself if you were in a similar situation? How do you think you would deal with it? Just to give some ideas, are we really prepared for disaster at any time? And if so, what do you think you have put in place that gives you some kind of a cushion against impending or actual disaster? 888-874-4888. And of course, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's the point of Free Your Mind Friday. There are things that I'm sure that outside of the storm, there are things that might have crossed your mind that you would want to share, and this is the time to do it. Well, Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hi. Hello, wonderful you trees. How are you today?
Okay. How are you coping with this this namesake storm and the trouble it has brought a whole bunch of people in Texas, Louisiana, and now Mississippi and Tennessee?
Well, it's not easy being Harvey in America right now. My heart goes out to all the Harveys, you know. We used to be like Harvey the giant Pooka rabbit in that movie there called Harvey with Stewart. But now suddenly we're I hear my name repeated every 10 seconds associated with disaster, mayhem, and chaos. So I guess even us Harveys have to recover from all that. another problem with this storm is these larger and more frequent hurricanes and storms are going to cause, in America, they're going to cause climate change immigration into neighboring states like California, where housing is already stressful and expensive, and it's going to drive up prices. Because how many storms are these people going to take before they figure, I'm getting out of here? You know, I mean, you build it all. You have a flood. You rebuild it, and then there's another one coming on the way. So, we're gonna see the beginning of climate change immigrants across America and the world because of this global baking that we're experiencing. And we really do have to get away from our excessive use of fossil fuels, the main culprit here, especially petroleum-powered vehicles, ships, airplanes, power plants. And it's a great time to divest away from fossil fuels like coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear, and reinvest in clean, renewable energy technology, which we have, and to do this as fast as possible if we want our children and future generations to live on a comfortable planet, our home planet, our Mother Earth. And this is we really have to wake up from this nightmare. And it's becoming uncomfortable everywhere. Everywhere you go now, it's either too hot, too cold, forest fires, floods, seasons are out of kilter, the movement of bugs that eat trees going further. I mean, wherever you look at it, it's devastating. They're devastating. Our oceans are becoming acidified, and tremendously dangerous and deadly. And I think it's really time. We have the technology. We can get star powered. We can put solar panels on our rooftops and plug our electric vehicles into the sun. And it would really, really help to cool the planet and make it more livable. But, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable now. Wherever I'm sure people, wherever they live, they feel uncomfortable. The temperatures are so high. And I'm not getting used to the higher temperatures. It's devastating, and it's going to lead to a lot of sickness as well, and a lot of poverty and perhaps food shortages. I mean, we really have to look at this and rethink it. And we have the power. You know, whenever we go into a warlike situation, we go into it wholeheartedly, and I think that this concept that it's other countries like North Korea, they're the enemy. I don't know if it's true or not, but the thing is, I do know who the real enemy is, and it's climate change. It's climate destabilization. And that's the enemy that's on us right now, and it's right here. And we have to change our ways of thinking, our ways of transportation, change everything. And this will actually be great for the economy. To initiate a change in in the way we live. So I think this is the future, and I think that each and every one of us has the power to create this change by voting with our dollars, by reducing our carbon footprint, and really thinking this out, because we've had a good, pretty good life, and if we want our children and future generations to experience the same thing, now is the time for change. And I think that it's so interesting that the Trump administration, which I said before is a fully owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel industry, and they're completely adolescent in their nature. I mean, this is full-blown adolescence we're witnessing here. And you look at these people, they're grown men. They look grown men and women. They look smart. They look wise, but they're totally adolescent in their thinking. And they're going to bring us down, all in the name of short-term profit. And I say, where's the profit in a burned-out planet? So I think it's up to each and every one of us to take responsibility, grow up, and make the changes that are needed so that we can sustain our life on planet Earth.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you totally. However, we do have to keep in mind that in as much as we are thinking one way, the president is not thinking that way. And ultimately, he has been able to thwart any movement at all toward, you know, some kind of sensible ecological policy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, well, again, I think that the interests that hold the Congress and the Senate and the majority of Republicans and some of the Democrats, they're just wholly subsidized, and it seems that their allegiance has been purchased by the fossil fuel companies, and it's a tragedy. This is a modern day tragedy, and we're all feeling it, and our children are going to feel it even more. So. We have to look for, I don't know, can we look to leaders anymore to lead us, because the leaders we have are leading us over the greenhouse cliff into, you know, like the planet Venus. They experienced what is known as a runaway greenhouse effect, where there was so much carbon in the air. Carbon in the atmosphere absorbs the infrared light from the sun and turns it into heat. And what happens is that they say that Venus might have even had oceans that boiled off. And what happens in our atmosphere, as the atmosphere heats up, it heats up water from the oceans, lakes, and rivers, which evaporate into the atmosphere. And if you Google the word water or water vapor, and it turns out it's the largest greenhouse gas. It's the most potent of all the greenhouse gases. So we're caught in a cycle of heat that evaporates water, and then creates more heat that evaporates more water, and our atmosphere is going to heat up exponentially to the point when it'll just kill off all life. So we're caught in a bind here, and unless we make that change, there's nothing like I only see death and destruction ahead, and loss of our crops, the end of fish in the ocean. The whole thing will go into a big meltdown. So again, we have to take personal responsibility, because we cannot count on our elected officials, who are owned by the fossil fuel industry, to make the changes necessary. And this is as powerful as any war ever, as World War I, World War II, and it can actually take more people as a toll, especially as our populations grow. So we have to do what's right, and I think that now's the time to start. And the first thing you can do, anybody can do, is divest from these companies, that the fossil fuel companies, and reinvest in technology that we have that'll make the world a better place to live in.
Well, thank you for getting us started today, and thank you for your thoughts. I agree with you. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I agree with everything that fellow just said. It's impossible, it's not going to happen, but I agree with him. I have a question, that's why I'm calling. If there was a recent event, let's say within the last decade, okay, that you could go back and write, what would that event be?
An event that I can write?
Yeah, that you can correct.
Put right
something,
or correct?
Well, something that you could correct or something that you could change.
Well, my head is at once crowded and empty because I didn't expect a question like that.
I'll tell you what it is for me, because I'm one of those people that when I see a wrong having been done, it eats me up. It just pushes me to the point where I could possibly do some crazy things. And that event is the fact that the criminals got away with perpetrating 9/11. That event that we just seem to, like, let go by. The country, you know, I understand 48% of the country, of the people in the United States, and probably much greater of people who live outside in other countries, 48% of those of us think there should be a new investigation about 9/11. For me, I don't even think that's necessary. I think we have to go the route of the French Revolution. That's what I think has to be done, because it's so obvious, particularly now after all of this time, that even more to even, you know, I would stop people and I would say, when those buildings came down, did it look like demolition or not? And almost everybody would say, yeah, it did look like demolition. And, of course, I would say, well, why don't you believe your own eyes? Why do you believe what they have told you? This story, this concoction, talk about conspiracy theories. I mean, this thing is so, you know, the investigation that they did and the report that they did, 9/11 report, talk about a conspiracy. Talk about making something up, a theory, you know? I mean, and since then, I've also heard things like people would say, well, you know, you're just a conspiracy theorist. And I would say, well, thermite and nanothermite being the explosive used by almost all demolition companies in the world, you know what I mean? Having found that in all the debris, that's not a theory. That is a fact, you know? So, I mean, I also would say, how many coincidences does it take for you to realize that this is no coincidence? You know, I mean,
well,
it's just amazing.
You're pointing us in a direction here that is quite familiar.
Oh, I
in
should
that
be.
A lot of no, I'm saying that a lot of things have happened for which ostensibly there is no answer.
Oh,
I would add to that, there is no answer yet from officialdom. There's no answer yet from them, but we shouldn't expect a truthful answer.
When I hear the word official, immediately I say, oh, yeah, right, official. Go ahead.
No, we should not expect a truthful and correct analysis that tells us, from the government's point of view, that will give us, the people, a correct, truthful answer as to what happened there. All we can do is rely on the expertise of scientists, individuals.
Architects,
like,
and engineers, for example.
You have to, that's where it is going to go. And the pressure is so intense on them, the punishment is so intense, that should they dare to come forward and offer an entirely different analysis, you know, their livelihoods and lives are on the line.
I'm aware of that. I'm a pariah myself.
See? So this is the dilemma we're in. We have to conclude that the government is lying. There's no question about that. The explanation that we're getting as the, quote, official explanation of 9/11 does not make sense to anybody with at least two ticking brain cells. So you have to discard the notion that somehow there will be an epiphany and they will see that the right thing to do is to be truthful and open. It will never happen.
Oh, like JFK. They'll still insist that it was a lone gunman. Can you give me 55 seconds? I have summed up 9/11 in 55 seconds, okay? It goes like this. The weather's so clear that beautiful day, yet no one dare see beyond what they say. The charges all set with little regret. The planes just attacked to cover their tracks. Most treacherous of crimes betrayed from behind. Most egregious of sins betrayed from within. The grave in the ground holds Flight 93. Though strange as it seems, no bodies are found. The Pentagon flashed a huge fireball, but still haven't seen a plane as its cause. The crime scene's all swept with no protocol. The proof holds away except DNA. And so in the end, the culprits are free to fill carpet bags and take liberties. Have no one to blame except for ourselves by turning our backs, conspirators all. That's it. I hope I'm still alive when I see and when justice gets done. I hope it does get done. I hope that we don't fall into what you just said and we'll never find out. I mean, we all know in our hearts who did this. Simple. Follow the money. You know, simple. Hey.
Thank you, John, for calling in today and making that contribution. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Jay from New York, you're on the air. Jay?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Okay, how are you? Thanks for asking.
I'm good. Listen, two things. Number one, it's always a tragedy when incidents happen that happened down in Houston. But the reality is, yes, there's going to be looting. Yes, there's going to be crime. Yes, there's going to be all sorts of things that are against human nature. But the sad thing is that we live in a society that doesn't care about human nature or the people. So whereby when a person goes out there who needs to feed himself and his family, loots and do certain things, unfortunately it's wrong, but it's a call survival. And if you had a society in place that had things to where as when these tragic events happen, people would be assisted in the proper fashion, then you wouldn't have these type of things happen. But unfortunately, we don't. We have a society that is based on greed, aka the Red Cross. The Red Cross will get millions of dollars in donations from the people of America. And they will be lucky to spend 30% of that money that they receive on actually helping the people. Now, this has happened on all sorts of tragedies in this country, and the American people have gone along with it. They haven't stopped really giving money to the Red Cross, just like you were talking about the Clinton Foundation. Same type of scams and things that go on all around the world. And unfortunately, we don't have things in place to deal with this and to hold people accountable, because somebody's always getting money off a tragedy. And that's the sadness. So, no, it's wrong to loot. It's wrong to steal and do those things. But if it's in course of you being able to survive along with your family, then you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, except that, you know, here's the thing. We have to also ask the question, did people do enough to prepare themselves?
No.
Exactly. So then it becomes, then it becomes, quote, necessary, unquote, to solve your problem by doing a bunch of unorthodox and illegal and unlawful things.
Yeah, but you know, you treat. I understand what you're saying, but the thing is this. We live in a society to where most people are looking for others to educate them. And unfortunately, we don't have that type of society to where as we educate our people, well, you should do this, you should do that. You know, we're just a
reactionary society. They're stealing televisions. They're stealing electronics. They're stealing things that they can sell or resell on the street.
I don't put them in this equation because they're just lawless individuals. I'm talking about people who are stealing to feed their families and to feed themselves. As far as that other form of crime, it is what it is because that's in a society what we bred. Now, from the country that you come from, more than likely these type of behaviors wouldn't happen because it's a small country and y'all work together on a certain level to where as the people are informed what to do when these tragedies happen, and as your community is, y'all work together to take care of one another. So it's a totally different dynamic. But this is what I really wanted to get with you right quick was, does it not amaze you? And I would really like to get your opinion. What type of sickness does this clown in office have that every decent thing that Barack Obama has done for this country, that this clown could repeal, he repeals it with no reason or rhyme at all? It's like I hear that he's about to repeal DACA. I mean, what purpose does it serve that here it is, you won the election, you in office, the chances are greatly that you're going to be reelected, but you have this mental sickness of, I don't know, of this boogeyman Barack Obama in your head. It's like everything that Barack Obama's ever done just does something to this man. I don't understand it. It's at the point to where, as you know, people say he needs a real mental evaluation. On Barack Obama alone, he needs a mental evaluation because there's no need to constantly, whatever this man tried to do good for the country, that you have to repeal it and then make the assertion that you're doing so much for the country when you're basically doing nothing for the country but tearing it apart at its seams. It just mind boggles me to where as we live in a society to where as nobody questions this to the point to say enough is enough. What is going to benefit the United States by repealing DACA?
When people in Congress start raising the question about his mental condition, he clearly has a very deep one. And then, on the other hand, if you understand how he got elected or why he got elected, you'll understand better, I think, why he's so obsessed with Barack Obama. He's a hateful man. He's a racist man. And in all of these oppositions to some of the good things that Barack Obama managed to get through, he has to attack them and destroy them because it is one of the ways that you can destroy the historical record, as if to say Barack Obama was never here. But the way he got elected was to appeal to the basest instincts in his people. And all of these things are signals to his base that he's on the job. He's doing the job. He is crucifying and delineating from the historical record that a black man was president before him, apparently had achieved quite a lot that he still can't. And he is resentful to the nth degree. Now, that's what Donald Trump, that is his fuel. He functions on that. He's a sick man. We have people who should be speaking loudly about it and are not. Yeah. And we have people who, because there is such a huge silence about it, are not moving or mobilizing where they should be, where they have the authority to confront him. Legislatively, they have the authority to do that. In Congress, they have the authority to do that. And refuse to accept that the people are to be saddled with leadership they don't like and don't want, and which is, for the most part, making decisions that are illegal and unacceptable. I don't understand what is the problem in people articulating what they're seeing. Why is there not a movement based on the concern that is widespread? Even people who like Donald Trump are troubled by what he's doing. The man is out of control. He has no respect at all, even for the law. Now, you would think you would be smart enough as a president to check before you grant a pardon to somebody, whether it is legal or not. You don't want to be embarrassed by your stupidity or ignorance, so you would check. Now they're saying the pardon is not legal. Why? Because it does not rise to a federal issue. You know,
will he be held accountable for this? That's the key question.
Yeah, but we are not, this is strictly in our arena here. We are not doing the job.
Who is that?
We're not acting like we're fed up enough or just outraged enough to say, all right, this is where we draw the line. He's about to send, in fact, he lied about that too. They had already sent thousands of people's daughters and sons into Afghanistan. And there's a second shipment that the country, it hasn't been told. The president hasn't announced that, in effect, he's operating on the War Powers Act. He hasn't said to Congress openly, we are at war. And we need more of your sons and daughters to die over there. And we tolerate it.
But
we put up with it. His sons are not going to be called to go to war in Afghanistan. His daughter is not going to be called. His son-in-law is not going to be called. He dodged it five times. So you have a sick, sick person in office, and that's what we need to make known. And this kind of illness is not, to my mind, there's mental illness and there's a different kind of mental illness. When this mental illness that you have is coupled with abuse of power, a willful act against people's interests, when you're just vile, that's not just basic mental illness. There's another word for that. You're just unhinged. You cannot be trusted. You lie all the time. In fact, Trump is responsible for the introduction in newspapers of a whole new column, fact-checking the president, because he lies so much. He just said he's giving $1 million to the, you know, the fund in Houston. You can't accept that as the truth. Trump is not known for giving money that is his. He'll find somebody else to put in $1 million. And then here's what I say. $1 million for Donald Trump? This is your country. It's hemorrhaging. It's bleeding right now. Everybody's hurting. And $1 million is all you could scare up? And you're such a wealthy man? And a football player, okay? A football player from Houston has raised on his own $14 million. You're the president, multi-millionaire. And in fact, he would be upset to be called a millionaire. He's a billionaire. Okay, great. But you have a very mean spirit. You're a small man. And you on crazy road. You've been driving on crazy road for a long time. And people are terrified of saying anything because you're very vindictive. So we're waiting to see the gathering of opinions and the demand made that he's got to be brought in for some kind of counseling, and they should make a formal petition that he be removed, because his actions are just so whacked out. His thinking, the treatment he accords even members of his own cabinet, the public berating and cutting people up and cutting them down. These are all the signals he's sending us that he really is unfit for the job. And he can't wait now to start a war with North Korea. He already began a war in Afghanistan that he did not announce. He didn't ask for Congress's permission, which is what he's required to do. He's just doing whatever the heck he wants, and they're letting him. So this might have to be a group action to fire the whole group. You know, fire the president and all those people who decide that they're going to be silent. Have you heard from Maxine Waters? Is she flapping her lips about, oh, there's a war on? She should be the one out there doing it. But you're not hearing anything. They're not going so far as to sue or take action against the president. They're not. They don't have the courage to do it, plain and simple. So that's what I could tell you. I think you're right on the money about what needs to be done, and you seeing the aspects of behavior in a head of state that should be troubling to every head of state. All over the world, Trump's actions should concern people, because they should be wishing that their leaders don't fit that bill. But it's not happening for all kinds of reasons. Thanks so much, Jay, for calling in. You know, in situations that we've been in, and we would think that there would be this instant groundswell of public dissatisfaction, that people would take to the streets. In other countries, they go even further than that. But it's as if America is, I don't know, it's just lost its will to affirm the authority of its vote. It has no interest in these things that affect all of us directly. We see pockets of resistance, and I didn't want to use that word because I think in many ways we're play acting. We're joking around. We're not convinced even of our own beliefs that they are strong enough and they are worth fighting for. And we can't just allow somebody to run roughshod all over the country, the Constitution that people talk so piously about. Look what we have. Our president has huge mental problems. It is so easy to see. Only recently are we seeing professionals writing essays and whatnot, and the next thing you know, they don't have a job. The universities that talk about what universities are for and freedom of speech and all of that kind of stuff. If a professor were to say at the most liberal university, it's time to call for and demand a mental examination of the president. I'm sure he has been in some kind of therapy before. And to demand an official inquiry into his state of mind, if he still has one. But we all lay down and we figure somehow it will all work out and we don't have to worry because so far he's crazy, but I can cope with it. So we'll just wait and see the next term, who it's going to be. And that's where we are. We have settled for mediocrity. We have settled for leadership that nobody who is well, I'm talking now directly about our own sanity. We are not well. If we can tolerate and accept this as leadership, it says we also have to worry about ourselves. We are not well. We are not nearly well. So, you know, that's it. People are comfortable. They have acclimated to this low level of governance. They're okay with it. And I understand very well how people give up with their activism. Nobody really wants to engage. They'll tell you privately all kinds of things about Donald Trump that they dislike and despise. But if you were to tell them, there's a bill we want to put together, you go as a group, pick a senator, pick a congressperson, and say, this is what we want to accomplish. Would you put this somehow before the Congress? You know what the answer would be. They're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm hanging in there, right? We're all hanging in. I hope the rest
that's
of you are.
Absolutely right. We're all just hanging in.
We're hanging in by a thread, but we're hanging on to a thread off the edge of a cliff. and that's just where they want us to be, because we're constantly falling for their little made-up stories. I mean, they want They want us to react exactly how we're reacting every day. The times that you change your show because something happened the night before and you decided to change your show because Hillary was going to Medgar Evers and Hillary went up to Harlem to pander for votes and insulted all the black people by saying her grandchildren ain't going to have to deal with the trial and tribulation like you poor people are going to have to deal with. She insulted the whole black race, in fact, the whole human race. But this is why they press our buttons and get us to be manipulated, and they get you to change your show because we react in a knee-jerk way. We don't sit back and look at it in a more objective way. We have to go deeper. This is divide and conquer at its very best. And they've been doing it to us since the beginning of time. If we're going to fall for this race stuff and be out there in the streets beating each other to death, that's exactly what they want. That makes them happy. Less blood on their hands is what they're looking for. If they can blame a hurricane on taking away a lot of people's lives and messing everybody up, that's perfect. There's no reason for that to be going on. Black people have been made slaves because of the color of their skin. And then back in Europe, when the kings and queens were concerned about their kingdoms, they had white slaves who could infiltrate in and trick them and manage to mess things up for a while. But once they found black people in Africa, they said, we can take these people and we won't be fooled anymore, because once they try to revolt, we'll know it's them, because they're black. So they freed the white slaves, gave them some land, and let them work for the kingdom, and they had black people to be slaves. And it's been that way since then. They made the same thing all around. It's a simple thing, and they do it beautifully. And we have to be smarter than that. I don't know what we're going to do. Donald Trump's a pawn. He's manipulated. If he doesn't do what they tell him, he's a dead man. Same with the Clintons. They all, the system has the government taking the blame for what they're doing. The deal is 20% for you and 80% for the system if you can generate money for them. That's the way I'm seeing it. It's too much for me to explain all in one shot. I try the best I can.
Well, I'm kind of getting where you're going with it. I can't disagree. But I think it has a lot more dimension than you've laid out, obviously because of time.
Right.
But I don't know what it would take. And we come to this point all the time. What would it take for people to just get it? And the answer is, after a while, it is useless to ask the question. What is important is to begin or to continue the action, because people really don't know. You'd be amazed at how many soldiers going into war that could cost them their lives have no idea what this is all about. They have no idea. And so they show up because they're told to or because they want to, and they believe sincerely, 100%, they're serving their country.
Yes,
but
they have us convicted.
Years will go by before they begin to put things together. This is the nature of the beast. You are seeing it because, to some degree, there's a little bit of distance that allows you to sit down and study these things. Most people are not doing that.
I know that. You're right. I have time now. When I was working, I didn't have as much time to think about these things. Now I'm retired. I have a lot of time to analyze and lay these things all out. I believe when Obama was appointed, the last 10 presidents since Johnson, Nixon, and then all the way down to Trump. But when Obama was put in there, everybody thought he was the first black president. He's whiter than Bush. And when they gave black people the right to vote, That was when they decided they weren't going to count votes anymore. So they threw them a bone, and it keeps us happy. It keeps us going. It keeps us all wrapped up in this little scheme of theirs. And they're getting away with it beautifully. And who's going to believe what I'm saying? It's too far-fetched. It's too outlandish. You know, 19 men hijacked 4 planes. When was a plane last time ever hijacked before 9/11? It was 20, 30 years a guy would go want to go to Cuba or something. 19 men could get 4 planes from 3 different airports and go right past Indian Point with 2 full planes from Boston. It wouldn't happen. They would crash it in today. What do we have? Nice terrorists decided we're going to take the strongest building in Manhattan. That's the one we're going to attack. Oh, we're going to go to the Pentagon and blow up the offices where they're conducting an investigation of what happened to $7 trillion. The terrorists were helping our government out. That's what they want us to believe. Well, we believe it because we're patriotic and we think we have to be, or else we're going to go to jail. Our neighbors are going to report if we don't put the flag out. This is the kind of thing they have us mixed up and swirling around. Prince said it. He gets 20%, they get 80. What kind of deal is that? He writes the songs, he makes the music, he plays the instruments. Then they take his whole repertoire of music away. He takes them to court, he wins, and then suddenly he's dead. Why don't people wake up? I can't take any more.
Well, we have to take some more. This is the reality. Because we really do want to contribute. And if we going to contribute, we have to be here.
Right.
But I do appreciate your point of view.
There's a lot of good people out there. There's a lot of good people out there in better positions than I am to feel the same exact way as me. And the system knows we're out here and they're looking for us. And the same thing as they did to David Koresh back in Waco, Texas. Those people were all murdered days before they started the whole thing off. People were all murdered. And they made it go on for months with rabbits screaming just to make it like those people were crazy in there. And we believed it. Then they burnt the place up, and then they looked through the ashes for any evidence, and then they burnt it up again, and then they looked through the ashes for any evidence, and then they burnt it up 3 times. What does it take for people to see this nonsense?
We have to educate each other. We do. We do have to educate each other because we can't possibly know everything. Somebody has to tell somebody, and we do have to talk it through. We do have to acquire knowledge the old-fashioned way of educating each other. So the times are demanding that we, develop some ways of surviving by pooling our resources, including knowledge. This is the one thing that has stood in the way of sinister plans by the government. If we don't know, it's perfect. The minute we start knowing things, it really shoots down a lot of the plans that are on the board. But the main thing is to seek knowledge. Thank you so much for calling today and participating. Thank you for your thoughts. David from Brooklyn, guess what? You are on a short time leash today.
Right. I'm going to give you a short response. This is a matter that goes beyond Donald J. Trump. People have to have the takeaway message, I think, that this system does not work in the people's interests. We're living in a place that is masquerading as a faux democracy. Representative democracy is what they have that they say they have, but it doesn't represent the public interest, and that should be the takeaway message, regardless of who is sitting in the White House.
I agree. When did you get to this conclusion, by the way?
Well, with the number of decades that I've been around, and after I got out of college, that's when I really began to learn, and I studied on my own, and I finally got into the decision that is the secret of what people have to recognize if we're ever going to improve our quality of life here in this country, because people don't understand the system. They don't know how the game is played. And that's what they have to do, just like the title of my book, Learn How to Play the Game. And once you know the game, then you can do something. It's Ashanti saying, when the fool learns the game, the players have dispersed. So until you learn the game, you're in trouble. And the people here need to know the game.
You find yourself on the court all by yourself because you haven't learned it. Thank you so much. Well, we've come to the end of the program today, and I thank you so much for your considered opinions and thoughts. And I thank you sincerely, because what we're trying to accomplish here is exactly what I said before. We are teaching each other, and we are learning from each other. And that's one of the best weapons that we have against this regime. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. Oh, by the way, Monday, I won't be doing a live program. You will hear me on Monday, but it would be a replay because the station is giving us all a break. So I'm going to take my break and sleep like nobody's business all day. By the way, you can reach me via email at leadstories@gmail.com. As always, it's a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. But on this long weekend, where we're going to be a part of it, try spending it with people worth spending it with, and people who bring positive dimension to your life. Run like crazy away from people who don't. We'll see each other on Tuesday. Bye-bye.